Ray.
Interviews with haunting gurus.
Bring out your Ted. Bring out your Ted. Hey, for our sound spectacular, of course you knew I was going to go for the jugular and bring out the big guns. I've got prop master and YouTube sensation from the Evil Ted Show. It's Evil Ted.
Hey, how you doing, guys? How you doing?
Hey, we're doing fantastic. I'm going to speak for my entire listening audience. So I'm going to say we're all doing amazing. Big fan of your channel, by the way.
Thank you.
Went through like a dozen videos over the last day or two just coming up with questions. So anyway, hey, look, why don't you do this? I guess we'll start back from the beginning, just getting into prop building and that kind of thing. How did you get started?
It all got started. I'm a little boy from the Midwest. I saw Star Wars at 14 years old. Like most of us in the age of the 70s, was blown away by that film. As a kid, the idea of it was just like, oh my God, it's amazing, it's amazing. And I saw stuff, but back in those days, all the movie traits and secrets and costumes, it was secrets. It was all like behind the screen. It was like magic tricks. Nobody wanted to show you the trick of how things were done. So it was kind of the mystery of Hollywood. It wasn't until like the 80s, like they started doing like movie magic and behind the scenes stuff, and they started giving me a little bit of a leap, and then realized that people loved it. People loved seeing how things were done. And when you see something done, it doesn't really destroy the magic. It kind of makes you go, oh, that's how they did it. But as a kid, I wanted to know how that stuff, and there was no books, no classes, no YouTube. We're talking, 1977, and I was just starving for knowledge. And so, just trial and error, duct tape and cardboard, paper mache. My first costume was a Darth Vader helmet. I did a paper mache and cardboard, and my mom made me the cape. So
that was one of my brother's first. Like, he doesn't do this anymore, but back when we were kids, we used to make paper mache masks because my neighbor taught us how to do it, and we thought that was the most amazing thing ever. And he made a Darth Vader helmet too, which is funny.
Exactly, and it's because you can't wrap your head around how to do that dome. Like, oh, we didn't just do it with paper mache. So I did that, and it wasn't until years and years later that I finally got ambitious enough to move out to California at age 25. Just packed up my life in a U-Haul truck and drove out and started knocking on doors going, hey, mister, I like to make stuff.
And so somebody obviously gave you a shot, said, come on in here, kid. We'll throw you a couple of dollars and you can sweep the shop and we'll teach you a few things.
That was the funny thing about it was I had a job in St. Louis. I worked in this photography company and I was part of quality control. I had a cubicle and a box, in and out basket, just like all the TV shows. And I was there for a while and I was making, I think, $7.50 an hour. And back in St. Louis in the 80s, that was like that's a pretty good hump. Paycheck, and you could get in your own apartment. This is my apartment I was living in. $310 for this giant studio apartment. I lived in South City. So when I moved out to California, I was just like, "Woohoo! I'm so excited!" And the guy turned to me and goes, "What's your day rate?" "Excuse me? What's your day rate?" I'm like, He goes, "What do you get paid an hour?" I'm like, "Oh, 10." The guy looks at me and goes, $10 an hour?" I'm like, "You're hired."
You're like, damn it, I should have said 20.
Exactly. It's like immediately, he was like, you're hired. So, and it took me a while to learn that I did have value because you're just so young and ambitious and happy to be working that I worked at that rate for a really long time, just happy to be working. So getting paid to do what you love, like, it was awesome. But then I realized I wasn't living in St. Louis, I was living in California and everything was different and everything was higher. So I eventually adapted, but yeah, just the whole, like, learning how to, you live like a gypsy. You work, you make money, and then when the show is over, the show is over. You're, like, unemployed. You're an independent contractor. So when you do a job, and when the job's over, you're like, what? So you had a little bit of money, and you were coasting, but you're immediately looking for another job. But that's how it all started.
Yeah. What was the first kind of solid gig that you got?
Oh, my God. It was a made-for-TV movie called Miracle Landing. It was about the Aloha tragedy. An airplane actually took off, and the commercial airline up in the top of the plane peeled open like a banana peel, just went, and only took out one life. There was a flight attendant was standing. It took her out, but everybody else was still strapped in their seats. So the pilot did his emergency descent. He dropped the plane quickly into the altitude where people could breathe, and he held the plane together until he landed. And everybody stayed alive. They only had one fatality. It became this huge story. So, of course, that was the era of, like, we got to make this into a movie. So they did. It was made for television. And that was my first gig. I did a lot of miniatures. We did model planes. We built the cockpit of the airplane. And, yeah, it was great. That was my first gig.
Now, you've worked on some major motion pictures over the last few years.
Yes.
What did you, like, you worked on The Hunger Games, Pirates of the Caribbean, Star Trek. You worked on The Walking Dead.
Yes, we did props for that. It was the first couple of seasons. My big claim to fame was Michonne's sword. We had these prop ones. We had sharp ones, aluminum ones, and rubber ones. And my boss was all about, we had to wrap the handle. So that I had to wrap them all with white leather because Michonne had that like white signature leather handle on her sword. So that was, we made those and rubber hammers, rubber axes, all that kind of stuff. It was a lot of fun. We did that. But yeah, my big claim to fame, my favorite one, was the Star Trek Into Darkness, where I had to make Khan's giant like laser gun and this big giant cannon he ran around. And a lot of people were always like, what? When you watch the film, it's on screen for 5 seconds. it's ridiculous. I spent weeks and weeks building this thing. It was like, I was so excited to work on it. And so I went to the theater to see it, and like he jumps around, and as soon as they got to push him for a close-up, he drops it. He goes, "Bloop." Just drops it. So
life is full of disappointments.
Yeah, no, it's just funny.
Sucks because all the work you put into it. Did you construct that similar to some of the tutorials that you do with the EVA foam? Was that somewhat similar?
That was one of the few things that I worked at this company called HPR. It was Hand Prop Room, and they're a great prop house here in Los Angeles. And I was a contractor. I was hired and worked. I was a hired gun. I worked with those guys for quite some time, and they made this one out of aluminum, a solid aluminum that weighed a ton. And the stunt guys were like, oh, we got to jump around and swing it. And I was like, they're not going to be able to swing this giant aluminum thing. So I went to my boss and pitched to him, like, you should foam fabricate that. He's like, it needs to look good, though, Ted. I'm like, really? Really? We're going to have this conversation? I said, it'll look good. Trust me. So back and forth for a while, let me do it. I did it, and it turned out great. It looked so nice that my boss was like, you know something? Make two more. So I did. I ended up making two more of those. So, and again, it's on the screen for 2 seconds.
How long have you been running the YouTube channel?
Oh, my God. It's almost, I think, 3 years. 3 years going on 4 years. And it was something that was kind of a happy accident. I was doing the work, doing the prop house, and and it was a good steady gig and making money. But the one thing about the job, like any job you love doing, over time, it does get exhausting because the trick I found out to not just this prop house, to every effect shop you work at, is you crank this stuff out quickly. You make it good and make it fast. The quicker you turn it out, the faster they can turn it around and make money. And so we would bid on these things and crank them out fast and make them good but fast. And so I would show up to work from like 7 to 4 and sometimes a little bit overtime, but very rarely. And you would just, like a factory. From the time I came in, I would come to that door and they go, oh, we need this by Wednesday. This is going to be Thursday. This plays tomorrow. This doesn't play till next week. And so you're juggling all these jobs at the same time. And it was fun, but it was exhausting. And I would have a little time off. And in the time off, I thought, oh, I'll just do a little fun tutorial. I was watching these kids doing the cosplay stuff in the early days on MySpace. And they were using like hot glue. And I thought, you know, there's a stuff called Marge cement and these other techniques I've learned over the years, so I just thought I'd make a couple of fun videos, and it really took off. And then people kept asking for more. And I'm like, okay. So I do them on the weekends as a side thing, and then it just kind of like started becoming more and more lucrative and having more fun doing it. I thought, you know something, I just want to do this full time. So I took the leap and took a little hiatus from work and just started cranking on videos.
So this is your full-time gig now?
It is, yes. It's I do my videos, and I also do a live stream on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/EvilTedSmith. I stream every Monday and Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And what's cool about the Twitch thing is I started doing that because it forces me every week to make something. Like, Like, you have to, like, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know. I better come up with something. So I started doing that and then taking those live streams and cutting them down and putting them onto YouTube. And it's been fun like that for a while, but I realized I'm going to try to get back to the basics of what I used to do, like just doing videos on one subject matter, like gluing or cutting. And there's one thing people have been asking me a lot. I've been getting a lot of questions, so I'm eventually just going to make a video like the top, like it, for all the newbies out there starting up, like what are the top five or top 10 tools you need to do, you know, get into costume building? I thought that's a really great question, so I'm going to start working on that, making a video just to like the top, my top favorite tools to start with.
I'm so glad you led right into it, because that was going to be my next question, is why don't you indulge us with the basic tools of the trade, the some of the must-haves to get started in costume building, and some prop building, like with the guns and battle axes and things like that.
Yeah, it's I have some patterns in my store. The war axe, the iron war axe, I think from Skyrim. I have the Inquisitor helmet from Dragon Age, and that's free on my website. You guys can go and just click on it free. And I have videos you can follow along with. It shows you step by step. But when you go to watch these videos, the thing I recommend, you get a box cutter or a mat, like a big telescoping, like big mat knives, the ones you can, blades come out. They're really inexpensive. You get that and the sharpeners. This company called Crenshaw, they make these sharpeners, and that's the key. Because when you cut foam with a knife, it's super sharp, and then foam dulls it almost instantly. It's like, when you can still cut your finger with it, but for some reason, cutting foam just dulls it. So the trick to all these nice cuts is keeping the blade sharp. And if you buy new blades, it gets expensive, so you just get a sharpener, so you can resharpen your same blade over and over again. So those are number two rule. The number two right there is the sharp knife, you know, box cutter knife, a blade sharpener, and then you get a cutting mat, like, so you get something to cut on. Because I find the cutting mat helps the blade stay, it doesn't wear the tip down so much because it's a self-healing mat. And once you get that, I recommend, you can get hot glue, but I recommend to people getting contact adhesive. My favorite one is barge cement. That's kind of an industry standard, but with the barge cement, it's a little expensive for some people. So if you can't get barge, you can still get just good old-fashioned contact cement. You can find just Wellwood makes a good brand of contact adhesive. And what I mean by contact adhesive is you can apply it to both surfaces, do about two thin coats, let it semi-dry, and you push them together, and bam, it sticks.
Yeah, now with the barge, you don't have to do that. You don't have to let it almost dry, and you don't necessarily have to put it on both surfaces for it to stick?
Nope. So it works the same way.
Oh, it does?
It does. It works the same way. What makes barge so great is just it's super strong. A lot of people use it for leather working. Barge was kind of invented for putting soles of shoes on, like for putting rubber to leather to soles and stuff like that. You put it really thin and you basically stick them together and they stitch the edges. Like that's what they use for putting soles to shoes. And as I started working in the industry, that would be in the movie industry, that's what everybody uses. And I just got turned on to it. I'm like, oh my God, this stuff's amazing. So, yes.
What would be the next?
There's cutting tools, and I like sharp knives for small cutting, circles and round cutting, like little round curves and stuff like that. Get an X-Acto blade, like an X-Acto knife and X-Acto blade. Those are great too. Those are great knives to have. The sharpener that, and the I have a bandsaw. If you want to really get into heavy building and do a lot of cutting, bandsaw. But tell you what, let's back up. Before you get a bandsaw, a heat gun. Now, the heat guns you can get relatively inexpensive. You can find those online for like 10 bucks. And that's great for heating your foam and shaping it, bending it. And also to heat seal your foam too before you seal it. Now, sealants, there's so many different brands. There's Quick Seal. Plastidip, Mod Podge, Rubber Latex.
Now, the Quick Seal you use pretty much specifically to fill in the gaps of the seams when you put the two pieces together, right? Well, it's dried, you need to get that edge off so you can't see the seam, and that's where the Quick Seal comes into play?
Yeah, it is. And also what makes Quick Seal so great is it's non-toxic and it's acrylic-based. So you can just spatula it on, and like I use it for really small seams or little bubbles or holes. And I always sometimes if your gap is too big, you go over it, let it dry a little bit. You'll find the quick seal shrinks. So I usually put it on and hit it with a hair dryer, and when it shrinks, I just apply a couple more coats. So because if it's a big deep hole and you want to fill it in, it's going to take more than a couple of coats. But just do one, let it dry, and then apply another. That's one of my tricks for that.
Like I say, there's several different products to seal the foam after you've already heat sealed it, and you're going to spray it with a coating, kind of seal the whole thing. And, right. Do you not use balloon rubber anymore? I remember I watched a video of yours. I actually did it. It worked fine. But then right. I messaged you and you said, oh, I don't even use that stuff anymore. I'm using something else. And I don't remember.
There's a couple. Yeah, it's basically, it's the company, they end up changing. There's a different formula they carry now. It's a different name. Polytech makes it, but it's called Polylatex 60. And they end up changing the mixture, so they gave it a different name, which I got to do some research on that now. It still works. They have something else that's a different name, but it's still basically the same thing. What it is, it's latex in a paste. It comes in a thick paste. You take it, and you add it to you thin it down with distilled water, make it nice and creamy. You can add colors to it. And what makes it so amazing is that when you spray it under your foam, I usually put like conic adhesive glue under my foams to help the latex bite to it, but you don't have to do it with this stuff. And when you spray it and it dries, you can spray on top of it and it sticks. Latex will not stick to itself once it's dry. Once latex dries, you try to put latex on top of latex, it just peels off. With the Polylatex 60 product, you can spray multiple coats and it just fills up and builds up, and it's vulcanized rubber. So when it dries, it's really tough. And I got turned on that stuff. That's what they use in England for a lot of LARPing costumes. They have something very similar to it, but they call it something different. But I got turned on it, and ever since then, like, oh my God, it's amazing. So again, that's on my list. I'm making a video on that. But a good thing I haven't done it yet, because it turned out they just changed the brand name. So I got to get the new brand name and do a video for that as well.
Now, what is the Creature Cast? How does that differ from the Polylatex 60?
Creature Cast is a neoprene rubber. It's not actually rubber latex, it's neoprene, so it's non-latex. So what's a plus about that is a lot of people, which I'm starting to more discover, some people are allergic to rubber, like rubber latex. Some people get rashes from them, they get allergic reactions to it. So for the people who are, I get a lot of people writing to me saying, well, you know, I love it, but I'm allergic to latex. Then I would say use Creature Cast. Creature Cast is the bomb. It's liquid neoprene. It's a guy in Portland who makes it himself. It's a small business, and he sells them in gallon kits, and you can get different rigidities and different, get it clear, you can get it black, and there's different thicknesses. I get the semi-rigid, and you can brush it on. I have a couple of videos where I did it with my my Viking helmet and my spiky shoulder pieces. I just brush it on. I do about two coats, and it just dries the next day, and you're ready to paint. And it takes paint really well, too. It's great stuff.
Awesome. Any other benefits from the Creature Cast over the Polylatex? If the allergy is not a problem, if you're not allergic to latex, which one would you use? Does it matter on the material?
The one thing about Creature Cast I really like over Polylatex 60 is that I like Polylatex 60 if I'm doing large areas. Like if I'm doing a costume, like a helmet or a suit or forearm, you know, like doing a full suit, I'll coat it with the Polylatex 60 rubber because I'm just more familiar with it. I like it. I need to experiment more with Creature Cast because it's water thin. So when you spray it, you have to do a lot of thin coats. But he does sell a thickening agent you can add to the Creature Cast to make it thicker. But Creature Cast I like because you can just brush it on. So like small hand props or little small pieces or helmets or I did the pulse rifle from Aliens, and I ended up just doing that with Creature Cast. I just did a brush coat, like two brush coats, and then took it outside and sprayed the rest of the coats on there, and it just went perfectly. It went really fast, too, so.
Another thing you've turned me on to is the Critter Gun, which I find is like the greatest thing ever. And I had never come across the Critter Gun, and the being able to use the mason jars, the ball mason jars, and be able to just, you know, after you're done, you can save whatever color you mixed, especially I used some of that balloon rubber, so I had mixed the color and got the color pretty much spot on. And you know, it was just great being able to take that, what the unused portion of that, screw the cap on the mason jar, put the jar away, and, you know, save that for another time. And you could just screw another jar in, you know, pour some more paint in, start another project. I just never came across them. I absolutely love them. I'm telling everybody about them now.
Yeah. The critter, what happened was the critter guns got really expensive. When I bought them, they're like $35, and now they're like up to $55. Like, they're ridiculously expensive. So I always tell people the cheaper alternative to the critter gun is called the siphon gun. There's a siphon gun, which the only difference is the jar, I think, is plastic and not glass, and there's some plastic parts on it, but it still works relatively the same. It's a little cheaper. But if so, people are on a budget, can definitely look for the siphon gun.
And you could buy additional plastic jars to go containers to go with it. Okay.
And I think I haven't bought one yet, but I should buy one. I was going to buy the siphon one to see that if you could replace the plastic jar with a mason jar and make sure to see if the thread of the lid was the same.
Oh, how about EVA foam? Different types of foams that you use for one project over another.
Yeah, I always found that when I start off in the beginning, I just use the floor mat foams because they're readily available. They're great. And it turns out that Home Depot and other stores have stopped carrying it. Like, they don't carry it in the stores anymore. They only sell it online. And I found over time the quality of the foam is becoming less and less. Like it used to be really dense and thick gray mats. And the reason I know this is because I have old ones. I had a bunch I bought like years ago, and I still have them. And I bought some new ones, and they're same company, same packaging, but the quality of the foam is different. It's softer. It's got more imperfections. It's got bubbles in it. So I found that if you're making a medieval costume, it doesn't have to be perfect. But for EVA foam, my favorite is this company, TNT Cosplay Supply. They basically make EVA foam, but their foam is like super dense and high quality and virtually no bubbles. And it's smooth on both sides. So you don't have to worry about the textured side. And sometimes if you're dealing with a costume, it doesn't really matter. But sometimes you want to have something smooth on both sides. So I've been buying getting my foam from TNT Cosplay Supply. Those guys have been great.
How does that compare in price from picking up the floor mats?
Not much. It's like the floor mats are cheap. There's a reason why they're cheap. It's because of the quality. And if you're doing something like LARPing or something like that, you definitely use the floor mat foam. When you're trying to make, oh, my goodness. Hold on. I love her, and she's crazy. Okay. But the, just the quality, it's like, yeah, it's just, there's a certain thing, you get what you pay for. What I've done is if you're making costumes and you want something to be really nice and perfect, I do all the experimenting and pattern making with my gray foam. And then once I get all that worked out, then I just remake it again. Like, if I get the pattern figured out what I want to do, like, okay, I got this figured out now. Like, I did my Vampire Hunter D costume. I did a prototype in the gray foam. And once I got it figured out, I remade it with the EVA foam from TNT, and it was 100% better. It was really nice altogether.
Now, are there what like millimeters do you typically like to work with? Like the thicknesses of the?
Yeah, that varies. Like, I always tell people, when you're doing helmets and armor, it's always half inch, or better yet, with TNT, it's 10 millimeter. That's the basic armor thickness. When you start getting into details and thinner things, or form fitting helmets or something, like, you can go like six millimeter, 4 millimeter. And for props, you definitely want to get all different kinds of thicknesses. But yeah, for overall costume, I always use half inch or 10 millimeter.
I have another note here about Mod Podge. What are you using that for? And what instances do you,
Mod Podge, it's just another form of sealing foam. When I started off, I wanted to teach everybody different like avenues of things, because a lot of people are on a budget. When they're making costumes, if you're doing something small, like a handheld prop or just a helmet, you just go to your local craft store and pick up everything you need just to do everything. You know, it's Mod Podge is just another form of sealing. Some people are like using PVA glue. There's all different forms of way of sealing things. And I liked Mod Podge because I would just brush it on the foam and it would soak in. And I'd always do that first before I put any plastic coat or anything on it. So it's just another form, just another inexpensive way of sealing foam.
There is Plasti Dip that you also use to coat the foam.
Yes.
Right. Any instances do you use that over something else?
I don't. Plasti Dip is kind of a go-to, something quick. If you have to do something fast and quick, or most kids out there experience the con crunch, like, oh my god, like, it's just a quick fix. It's a great way to go something. You can buy it. You can buy it. And the cool thing with Plastip now is that you get multiple colors. So if you're doing something, you can get different colors. And I'm not kidding. They have a rainbow. If you go to their website and select their colors, it's crazy the amount of colors they have. Turquoise and blue. And like, it's like they have just a number array of colors.
Nice.
So it's just a quick fix. Like, if I have more time, I usually just do my either Creature Cast or my Polylatex 60 rubber.
Any quick painting techniques that you can throw at us? Anything
yes.
simple?
Yes, acrylic. There's this company that sells paint aerosol cans, and it's called Montana. And Montana makes acrylic paint in spray cans. So it's actually acrylic paint in a spray can. So you can lay on color. And it, like when you're spraying usually out of cans, it's enamel paint. Enamel paint, when it dries, is rigid. It's hard, and it cracks. When just looking at it, it'll crack off. It's hard. So the cool thing with Montana is actually acrylics. It's acrylic paint in a spray can, and it's used for graffiti artists. Love it because of just the array of colors and the durability of it.
Other than that, what other types of paint? Any other type of paint you like to go for? Or
there's the acrylic paints. There's Kratex is a great company. And Nova Colors are two of my favorite companies that sell acrylic paints. And I buy those for acrylic, for if you're painting something, large majority of something of a prop or a gun, using acrylic as a base. And for all the detail work, I love using Tamiya. Tamiya is a Japanese model paint. It comes in jars, and that's acrylic based as well. And you thin that stuff down with lacquer or denatured alcohol. Just thin it down, shoot it through an airbrush. This works great through an airbrush.
How about little safety tips?
Oh, yes.
I know the kids need to be safe out there.
Yes, it is. When you're airbrushing with acrylic paints, I always use a particle mask. Guys, there's a really great one called the company that makes them. They're like neoprene mask, and they're called RESP2O or SO. It's a mask. It's a company. Matter of fact, go to my website, evilfedsmith.com, and where it says particle mask, click on the link. That's where you can find them. I love them because they're just neoprene rubber, but they're made for athletes and cyclists and people who ride bicycles in the city where there's a lot of smog and grime and dust on the streets, so they don't breathe it. And they're just these nice, and when you wear them, they don't feel like those cheap paper ones you wear at Home Depot that cut into your face.
Mm-hmm.
I hate those things. These guys are great. So when you're just working with foam, grinding dust, or spray painting with large particle, it's just wearing a particle mask. Definitely recommend that. And when you're cutting, goggles, when you're using a dermal. But it's mostly dust.
And then there's the other, the heavy-duty respirator, which is like, what, a charcoal respirator?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's when you're working with really toxic stuff, like barge cement. If you're working with barge cement or kind of adhesive in a garage or somewhere kind of closed off, there's not. You want to make sure you have an airflow coming in through your house and have a fan blowing your face. But if you're in somewhere in a closed environment, definitely wear a mask with that stuff because the vapor content is really strong and super toxic. There's a reason why it's so strong is because it's so deadly.
I love your alien egg costume, that kind of gag where you – that thing's amazing. Yeah, there's a company – I don't know if you – have you ever heard of Transworld, the haunt and Halloween show? It's in St. Louis every year. It's for all the big haunted attractions and whatnot.
Yes, there's one, they have them everywhere now. But yeah, they're big. They do one in San Francisco. There's some in Chicago. I always keep hearing about them. And they're big. They're Halloween fairs where people can go and buy all the stuff they need to put on a maze or attractions. You can buy like animatronic puppets and walk arounds and all these gags. Yes.
Yeah. Some guy has a couple of props like that for a Queue Line entertainer that has like a box that pops open and this like, out of it's like VFX or
right.
I think
at
the company
is that rig. They got a mirror. It's a mirror on a box.
Yeah.
So it looks like the box is empty. So you don't see it. Like, why is this guy carrying an empty box? When you get up close to him, he splits the box open, and his head on a spring thing shoots out.
It comes out like 3 or 4 feet. It's so great. So, but your prop was just like, it reminded me of that. I'm like, oh my God, that thing is awesome. So basically, it's a alien egg, pod
right.
egg, and then you have like your hand as a glove with a face hugger.
I made a face hugger hand glove thing, and what it is, I had a fake arm holding the egg, so people it looked like my arm was holding this egg, and it all flashes back to a character I saw in the 70s when I was a kid. And it was this guy with his giant emu. And he had a basically this big emu pup, like big like emu, his Australian outback costume. And his big, and what it was he was just basically the head of the animal was his hand. And he had this fake arm holding this bird body, this fake bird body. And this bird, it would attack people, but it was his hand. But when I was a kid, you ate it hook, line, and sinker. You just loved it. It was so damn funny. I'm like, oh my God, it's genius. And I don't know why it popped in my head, but I was like, I wanted to do something for Dragon Con. It was my first Dragon Con. But I wanted something comfortable but funny. And when I came up with the idea, I'm like, oh my God, that's it. And I don't know if I pitched it to my buddy Bill Duran, and Bill just laughed and said, oh my God, that's got Dragon Con written all over it. So it was a big hit. And I'm going to reprise that costume again for BlizzCon this year. I'm going to take it to BlizzCon.
Awesome. Now, Bill, you're good friends with Bill Duran from Punish Props?
Yes, sir. He's been my inspiration. He's a nice guy. And when I started, people kept tagging me with him. I'm like, who's this Bill guy? Thank you, Ted and Bill. Thank you, Ted. And I got tagged a lot in Twitter and Instagram and stuff. I was like, and finally I met Bill. Like, Bill, like, hi. And so we sat down, and Bill just said, look, welcome to my world. Like, if you really want to do this, here's the things you have to do. And he gave me a list of things to do, and I've been doing them. And I have to say, Bill is the reason why I'm here today. He just kept me, like, got me up to speed. And in a lot of ways, I'm kind of adapting right now because I just got engaged and have a family I'm getting right now. So I'm kind of rescheduling my streams and my builds and trying to get my stuff all caught up. But he's been a great inspiration. Making me run this into a steady business.
Cool. Hey, before we wrap up, any other like last minute, like just quick tips, techniques, words of wisdom from Evil Ted?
Yes, I do. I have some words of wisdom. there's a word going around I hear a lot, and it's called failing. And people always associate it with something bad. I'm going to tell you people right now, failing is not bad. Failing is learning. So when you start building stuff, are you a little intimidated? Like these people that write to me and go, oh, well, I'm not really good at this. You know, how about, you know, hey, Ted, how much would you charge me to make something, you know, for me? I'm like, no, you guys don't understand that. I'm not in this to make things for other people. I'm going to teach you how to do it. And here's the thing. When you go into something, know this for a fact. It's not going to turn out perfect. And that's all right, because it doesn't have to be perfect. But I guarantee this, when you make something, it doesn't turn out, the second thing you make will be better. And then, you think that's crazy, the third thing you make is better. And then after that, the fourth, and so on and so on. The more you build, the better you get. And then I recommend keep the first thing you make. Keep it, put it on the shelf. And then within a month or 2 weeks, look at something and go, holy crap, like, I'm so much better than where I was I started. So when you start off, talent is, I always tell people, talent can be taught. Passion cannot. If you have the passion to make something, you can do it. Stick to it. I know so many people who build something and kind of like get frustrated and they just kind of throw everything up and go, I'm out. And that person is never going to get anywhere, never going to succeed. You have to fail in order to learn. So let's replace the word with failing with learning. So no more failing, learning. That thing was put in you in school. So now it's learning. So if you don't, something doesn't work out, big deal. On to the next. You will get better. Stick to it, people. And it's foam. It's cheap. It's easy. It's readily available. You will get better. Stick to it. That is my advice.
Beautiful. Why don't you plug your website? I know you have some free templates there, but free.
Yes, I do. Guys, go to my website, evildedsmith.com. I have the TV show Voltron, which I'm a big fan of. I have the Paladin helmet. That's free. You can also get the War Axe from Skyrim. I think it's Skyrim. And then there's War Axe, and then you have the Inquisitor helmet from Dragon Age. That's free. They're great patterns. Are basic, and I have videos in each one on step-by-step on how to work with the foam. And once you watch one of those videos and you make something, you'll be like, oh, wait a minute, that wasn't that hard. And it isn't. It's just, it'll be like a drug addiction. Like, oh my God, I built this. Now I can't wait to build more.
How often are you putting out videos right now?
I had them once a week, but I've been kind of adjusting to my schedule right now, readjusting. I have some videos piling up, but I try to get one up every week, every other week.
Your live, so, I'll plug your live stream again.
Oh, yes, guys. That's twitch.tv/EvilTedSmith. I stream every Monday and Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Times, and it's a blast. All the creative people in the chat are great. And matter of fact, people, if you're new, I just recently started a Facebook group called Evil Ted's Foam Fanatics. It's just a great creative group because I streamed on Twitch, and when I wasn't streaming, there's all these great talented people not talking to each other. So I figured I'd start a Facebook group. In the Facebook group, if you're a newbie, you can come in, share your work. If you have questions, want to learn about techniques, everybody in there all are super friendly, and everybody's just there to help. So if I can't, I go through my fan mail about once a week, but if you have a question, or if you're doing a con crunch and you need an answer to a question quickly, you could probably post it in Foam Fanatics and get a response really quick. But all I ask is when you join Foam Fanatics, I have two questions you have to answer. Once you answer the two questions, you're in. So there you go.
Where else can they connect with you on the interwebs?
On the interwebs, you guys can go to my website, and I have a contact there as well. You can contact my website. I have a Facebook, the Evil Ted Facebook page. I don't really do much on the email on that so much, but you guys can post pictures and photos there. You can tag me on Twitter. You can reach out to me on Instagram. It's on Instagram, it's EvilTed_channel. And Twitter, it's Twitter at EvilTed40. So you guys can follow me on all those social media.
All right, Ted. I really appreciate you taking a couple of minutes.
Oh, thank you. It was fun. I love helping people. This is awesome.
This was great. Hey, I'll catch you on the net. Take care.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.